passion. Passion. Amen. This has got to be more than just religion to us. It's got to be more to us than something that we do on the weekend that's nice. If this is going to do us any good, we got to have a passion for it. It's got to grip our heart. It's got to make us fix our vision, our sight on Jesus Christ. It has to occupy our mind 24 hours of every day, 365 or one-fourth of the year. We got to make up our mind. We added one extra just for those of you that are slowful and goofing off. Amen. We got to make up our mind. This is it, folks. Got to have a passion. Everybody say a passion. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. I'd like to remind you, as we began this journey tonight, these words were penned from a prison cell. The man that wrote these words was a prisoner for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a man that put his life where his mouth was. This is a man that knew where the rubber met the road. This man was not a Christian in name only, but he was a Christian indeed. And he gave everything for this gospel, literally. This is a man that held nothing back. That was just the way Paul was. He didn't know any better. Before he was saved, he was like that. If you look back a little bit to the fourth verse, he's talking about some people that used to be his brethren, and they, at one time they were his friends and contemporaries, and now they're his greatest enemies. It's amazing how life turns out, isn't it? As you go along, some people that were friends at one point become enemies at another point. People that you love sometimes stab you in the back before it's all over. Man, Paul had bad experience in his life. He went through some difficult times, didn't he? He's writing, as a matter of fact, he gets a little hard on him here in verse number 2. He said, "Beware of dogs." Now, he's not talking about Fido there. He's not talking about Chihuahuas and Great Danes. He's talking about enemies of the gospel. Amen. He said, "Beware of evildoers." And some of them are even in the church. Just because people come to church doesn't necessarily mean that they're Christians. I'm trying to be nice. After this morning, I decided I'm going to be nice tonight. I'm trying real hard. And then he said, "Beware of the concision." You see, there were Jewish Christians that after they were converted to Christianity never, they thought, as some, that's just the added blessing. Amen. This Holy Ghost business, that's just something extra. Jesus is just something extra. But you still have to obey the law, and you still have to go to the temple, and you still have to offer sacrifices, and you still have to do your Jewish things. Because you're going to be saved by keeping the law. That was their belief, and they tried to press that on others. And Paul said, "Oh no, oh no." He said, "The law won't save you." The law was a schoolmaster. It was the servant that took us to school so we could learn about Christ. He said, that's what the law was. The law can't save anybody. All the law can do is tell you when you're wrong. I don't know about you, but I've broken a few laws in my life, and I've had to pay a penalty. And there wasn't any mercy in law. Hello? Whenever you break a law and you get caught, all the law does is just tell you what you did wrong, and what you've got to do to make it right. There's no saving grace. There's no mercy in law. That's not even the purpose of law. The purpose of law is just to tell you what you did wrong. That's it. It's rigid. It's hard. It's crusty. That's its purpose. It cannot save you. But thank God for grace. And thank God for mercy. The Bible said grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Somebody said mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve, and grace is when you get what you don't deserve. Amen. That's pretty much it. Hallelujah. Grace comes and gives you gifts that you don't deserve, and we get those things in Jesus Christ. He said, for the circumcision, that is the Jews, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh, or no confidence that this flesh can keep the law of God. For I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh. I have more. He said, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, according to the Jewish law. When he was 8 days old, he was circumcised into the Jewish faith. He said, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. That was one of the two southern tribes that were considered of the great tribes of Israel. Benjamin's the son of the right hand, the blessed one that got more than anybody else. He said, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Now, let me tell you what a Pharisee was. A Pharisee was somebody that had to be independently wealthy so he could dedicate 24 hours a day so he could keep every little jot and tittle of the law. What were there, 600 and something laws that the Jews wrote? Now God gave us 10, and we couldn't even keep one. Hello? Didn't he say to Adam and Eve, he said, you can eat every tree but that one. That's one commandment. And they couldn't even keep one. And Moses broke all 10 at one time before he got off the mountain. We cannot keep laws, folks. We're not good at keeping laws. If you've got a child, you'll know that. No. And what do? They do it. Don't touch that. And we don't get much better when we grow up. Amen. We're just that way. There's something in us. Amen. And so we're not very good with laws. But Pharisees did everything. As a matter of fact, in another place, Paul said, as touching the law, he said, I'm blameless. He said, it's tough, but I kept the law. Nobody could lay a finger on my life. Nobody could say Saul of Tarsus didn't keep the law. He said, I dedicated myself to it, and I kept the law. And he said, I loved it so much. He said, I persecuted the church. I was so zealous in keeping this law. He was a passionate man. He believed what he believed. Yes, he did. Until one day he was on his way to Damascus. He had letters and names of Christians in his pocket. And he was going down to arrest some more Christians and have them thrown into prison, when all of a sudden, shining at noonday, came a light that outshone the sun. And it literally knocked him off the back of the beast of burden onto the ground. And he was blinded by the light. Hallelujah. You see, God would not blind you with darkness. He blinded him with light. All he could see was light. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. He was blind. He couldn't see. The voice spoke and said, Saul, Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he said, who art thou, Lord? Why are you persecuting me? The Lord said. And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, Paul just knew one Lord. He didn't know anything about three gods. He didn't know anything about a Trinity. He just knew one God. Amen. And he said, "Who are you, Lord Adonai? Who are you, Jehovah?" And the Lord Jehovah Adonai said, "I am Jesus." And he didn't argue with it. "I'm Jesus whom you persecute." Let me tell you something. When you persecute one of God's children, one other of your brothers or your sisters that are Christians, you're persecuting the Lord. Now this would help us a whole lot if we could get this through our head. But so oftentimes we hear it with our ears, but it doesn't go any further. Let me say this again. When you talk bad, criticize, or gossip about your brother or your sister, you are persecuting Jesus Christ. When you offend or persecute the body of Christ, which is a Christian, you are doing that same thing to Jesus Christ. Even if it's your wife or your husband. I have heard people say things to their mate that they wouldn't dare to say to somebody else. Boy, it gets quiet. I'm trying so hard to be nice. But it just keeps coming out. Amen. But you see, that brother, if your mate is saved and pray that God they are, then they're part of the body of Christ. And if you're harsh and unkind to them, you're being unkind to a part of the body of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense to anybody? Does it make any difference? Maybe I am getting through. Amen. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving, for Christ's sake. Amen. That's the way we're supposed to be kind to one another. Amen. You know, this thing of insulting people that's become so common, that's not rooted in Christianity. Seeing how cutting you can be to somebody, that's not rooted in Christianity. Amen. We're supposed to be kind to one another. Amen. But Paul was a passionate man. Amen. He was passionate about his faith in God. He said, I went so far as to persecute the church. Amen. He had it all. You see, as far as the Pharisees were concerned, he was headed to the top. He was on his way to becoming, he said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was on my road to being the best. Amen. But listen to what he said. He said, but those things that were gained to me, those things that were what I was using to get ahead, he said, those I counted loss or detriment for Christ's sake. There are some things that before you met Jesus Christ, they become a detriment to you later. Amen. He didn't lose his passion. He didn't lose his zeal. He didn't lose his desire. He just found a new object for it. Brother Holly used to teach us at Bible college, love seeks to become one with the object of its affection. When you love something so much, you want to become like that. Amen. And Paul fell so in love with Jesus Christ. My passion, he said, is to be like him. Not just to talk about it, but to be it. What was it y'all learned at HYC recently, the young people? To seem or to be. We just don't want to seem like something. We want to be something. The Bible said if you, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall seem as witnesses. You shall act like Christians. No. He said you shall be witnesses. The word is martus. And martus is the word from which we get martyrs. You will be martyrs unto me What is a martyr? A martyr is somebody that was willing to lay down his life for a cause. Amen. That's the depth of that commitment that he's asking us to make. He said, I don't just want you to be professors of religion. I want you to be martyrs, willing to lay down your life for me like I laid down my life for you. Jesus is not asking us to do something that he himself did not do first. Amen. And so he said, you're going to be witnesses, martyrs unto me. And indeed that came to pass, didn't it? Those that think this is a bless me club needs to read Fox's Book of Martyrs and find out what happened in the early days of this church. Those that think this is just a road to blessing and prosperity and it's all about blessing me, Jesus. Amen. Oh, no, 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 no. Hey, I'm going to show you just a minute what the apostle prayed. Amen. Hey, this is about laying down your life. This is about getting so in love with Jesus Christ that he's all that matters to you. Amen. And so he said that those things, he said, I laid all that aside. He said, I counted all things but loss or detriment for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. And then listen closely, for whom I have suffered, everybody say suffered, the loss of all things. Paul lost his reputation. They said, one man said to him, he said, Paul, he said, much learning has made you mad, has made you crazy, has driven you insane. Amen. Now, if you worship Jesus Christ with all of your heart and mind, soul and strength, and serve him in this day and time, there's probably going to be some people that think you're crazy. I've heard people that'll do everything. They'll pay any price to get to a ball game, but they don't understand why I want to go to church. Now, I just don't understand why you people think you got to be in church every time the door's open, because I love him. And I love this. This is my life. This is my passion. This is what I believe. This is what I live for. It's not just something that I do without passion. Amen. The same people that criticize Christians, genuine, sold out witnesses and martyrs for Jesus Christ, they'll pay any price to do what they love. I'm not trying to criticize anybody, not making fun of anybody here. I'm just drawing a line in the sand. You will give up and pay any price for what you love the most. There are people that will pay any price for one more drink because that's what they have sold themselves to and that's what they love. There's people that will give any price for one more shot or one more snort or one more drug because that's what they have given themselves to and that has become their life. There are people that will give themselves to Jesus Christ and they will pay any price to be faithful to him because that is what they have given themselves to and that is their life. I'm talking to you tonight about passion. If there's one thing I want to see more of in my life and the life of Christians, I want to see more passion about him and serving him and what we believe. The young man sat down and wrote a letter to his betrothed, to his fiancée, and he said, I would climb any mountain for you, and I would ford any river, I would swim any ocean just to be with you, my darling, my love. He said, and if it's not raining, I'll come over tomorrow afternoon. That describes how some people feel about their God. Amen. Well, I'm just not feeling quite right tonight. And it's church time, but I don't think I'll go. I'm tired tonight. You're tired every night. And if you're honest with yourself, you don't get to bed any earlier whenever you don't go to church than when you do. I'm going to preach about passion tonight. I'm going to preach about being sold out to what you love tonight. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not giving everything for Him. Paul said, I've suffered the loss of all things. His business, his bank account, his reputation, his position, he lost it all. How did he feel about it? He said, I just think it was like dung to me. Pretty strong. They're just trash, stuff, junk, meant nothing. It was worth it. He said it was just stuff. It's just getting in my way. Amen. How does that fit in with folks that say, if you will bless me, Lord, I'll serve you. If you will give me the job I want, I'll serve you. If you will provide me with this or with that or another thing, I will serve you. If. No, that's not it, folks. Amen. It's about I will serve you. No matter what comes, the good, the bad, whatever comes my way, I will serve you. I know two men that lost sons. One of those men lost his son. And he was aspiring. God had called him to ministry. His life was just beginning. He died in a tragic car accident. And he wept a long time. But he's still preaching today. 40 years after the fact, he's still serving God. About the same time, another man lost his son. He went home, he got his Bible out. He walked over to the fireplace, and he threw it into the fire. And he said, I've served you, God. This is how you treat me. He wasn't passionate about this. Just let me say something quickly here tonight that would be valuable for us to grasp and understand. God does not look at the death of the righteous like we do. We look at the death of the righteous as loss. God said it's precious in His sight. He looks at it as gain. We look at the loss of a Sister Magruder as a loss. He looks at it as a gain. And he understands that this bottom part, and Paul said, we see through a glass darkly. We don't really get the whole picture. Everything's a little blurry, especially concerning eternity and on the other side. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, the death of the righteous is not a defeat. It's a victory. It's a gain. It's a graduation. It's a homecoming. Different. Man. Now, I understand that the death of the unrighteous is another matter. But the death of the righteous is a good thing. That's why Paul could say things like he said, it would be better for me. He said, if I could just go on. It would be a gain. But he said, for your sake, it's better that I stay. Amen. He'd already been there. You got to understand. He'd already seen that side. He said, I saw things that it's lawful. I don't know what he means by that. If he meant that there was things God said, don't tell them. Or if he just didn't have the words. If there were sights that are there that we have nothing to compare to. If there are colors there that are not even in our spectrum. If there are sounds there that presently our ears cannot hear. Amen. I got a feeling that's really what he's saying. That if you get there, you don't want to come back here again. There's nothing to compare. Passion. He said, I lost everything, but it didn't matter. Amen. And then I got to get to the heart of it. I'm sorry, I'm getting here, but I'm going to make it. Amen. But the next thing he says in verse number 10, and I can hear such passion in these words. He said, I might know him. Now, Paul, you've been walking with him a long time now. He said, oh, but I got to know him. I want to know him. You hear his passion? Can you hear that? That I might know him. Oh, I know so much. I've experienced so much. But there's more. There's more. Hey, folks, it doesn't matter how long you've served him. There's more. It doesn't matter. I've heard people as if they had reached some place that they don't really feel like there's anything else for them to do. They talk about what they used to do for God. I used to do this, and I used to do that, and I used to pray like this, and I used to worship like this, and I used to, and I used to, and I used to. And my question is, what happened to your passion? What are you doing for Him now? Amen. It's about what we used to do. It's about what I'm doing now. I've known some preachers that one man at our conference a few years ago. He was 92 years old. And man, when he got in that pulpit, he came alive. I'm telling you, friend, he was shelling the corn. Amen. He was giving it all he got, 92 years old. Hallelujah. Amen. He hadn't lost his passion. I have a good friend, my pastor, when I was just a little boy, first pastor ever remember in my life. Such a precious man. He had his 90th birthday recently. And he said, my voice don't let me do much. He said, but when I get up, he said, I just go until it's gone. He said, I don't understand people that don't want to preach anymore. He said, I still got the want to. He said, it still burns in me. Amen. He understands that he doesn't have the physical stamina to do what he could do at one time. He knows that. He understands that. But he said, I just give it all I got. Amen. That's all he's asking. Just give him all you got. Amen. Hallelujah. Just do the best you can. Paul said, that I might know him. Then he mentions three things that I'm going to try to cover as quickly as I can. He said, and the power of his resurrection. I'm going to tell you something tonight. This Christian life is not just a religion we're a part of. There's some power in this thing. I said, there's some power in this thing. When you go to an altar and repent of your sin, something happens to you. Amen. And when God fills you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, something transpires in your life. Paul said it this way, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Something happens. There's a power that gets a hold of you. And you're not the same anymore. It's not just a profession of faith. It's not shaking somebody's hand. It's not just saying some magic words. But it's literally a spiritual birth that takes place in your life. When you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you get eternal life. Now your body may perish, but that Holy Ghost that is infused, of that soul that's fused with the Holy Spirit of God, it's going to keep living. Some of you that have lost loved ones in recent years, amen, that have the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you tonight, that their remains are in one place, but their spirit and their soul is in another. Whoever wrote that old spiritual "ain't no grave gonna hold my body down" knew what they were talking about. Hallelujah! Amen. Hey, we got something to be passionate about. There's some power connected to this. Paul said it's the power of resurrection. Now there were people in Paul's time that didn't believe in the resurrection. There's people today that don't believe in the resurrection. And you know what? If I believed this is all there is, I would live differently. If I believed that you just live here on the earth and get everything you can get, amen, and hang on to everything you can get together, and then all of a sudden you die and leave it to somebody else and God knows what and who, and you just go back to the ground and that's all there is. What a sad way to live. But I'd probably live differently if I really believed that, but I don't. I don't believe that at all. I do not believe that at all. Because I don't believe that, stuff don't mean a whole lot to me. I think the best kind of car you can drive is one that's paid for. I think the best kind of house you can live in is one that's paid for, if you can. Amen. Not how big it is or how grandiose. If it's paid for, man, that's a good house. If you're driving a car that's paid for, man, that's a good one right there. Amen. Praise God. I'm just trying to tell us tonight, it's not about how much stuff you can get. Praise the Lord. It's okay. I'm not against people having some stuff. I'm just against stuff having people. I'm against people loving things and using people. Amen. There's a whole lot of that goes on. And I know it can get a hold of you because I've watched it get a hold of folks. Amen. Like the guy that he crashed in his BMW, and when the police came, he was sitting there crying and he was moaning. He was saying, "Oh, my BMW, my beautiful BMW. Oh, my car, my beautiful car." And the guy said, "Man, forget your car. Your arm's nearly ripped off." He looked down at that stump and he said, "Oh, my Rolex, my beautiful Rolex." He was ate up with it. That was his passion, was stuff. And you know what the big joke is? These people that are so caught up in that, they were the hippies of the 60s that said, "We don't want any of this materialism stuff." And they are so ate up with it, there's never been a generation that's consumed with stuff. You talk about hypocrisy, they talk about Christians being hypocrites. well, for whatever it's worth. And it may not be worth much, but there it is. He said, I want to know him in the power of resurrection. You see, that's the difference in Christians and others. Hey, we believe in resurrection. I'll tell you why I believe in resurrection. Because the founder of this thing, they crucified him, but before they did, he said, in 3 days, he said, I'm going to restore this temple. Hallelujah. In 3 days, I'll be back. Amen. And you know what? In 3 days, he did. And when he resurrected, he didn't come by himself. The Bible said in the streets of the city of Jerusalem, there were saints walking around. Here come Uncle Bud and Aunt Sally walking down the street. You talk about somebody swallowing their teeth. What in the world are y'all doing? Well, I don't know. Jesus just got us up here and thought we'd take a stroll. Amen. I don't know how long they live, but I know resurrection. When he got up that morning, it shook up a whole bunch of folks, and they got up with him. The only difference is they did die again, and they had to have a second burial. Amen. But they didn't bury him again. Amen. He walked outside with his disciples, and while they were watching him, he went up into heaven. Hallelujah. And he said, I'm going to go away, but he said, I'm going to come right back here again. In the same manner that I'm going away, I'm coming back. Oh, Paul believed in resurrection. And you and I, we need to believe in resurrection. Amen. It's not something that I'm waiting to happen. It's already happened. Didn't he say in another place? He said, for you were dead in trespasses and sins, but you have been quickened, made alive. You see, we really were. Before I had the Holy Ghost, I was dead in sin. Amen. But when I received the Holy Ghost, I got a life in me. I got a brand new spirit on the inside. And I have a life I didn't have before. Woo! Hallelujah! We got something to be passionate about. Let me rush on here. He said, and then he talked about, and the fellowship of his suffering. I'm just going to put it plainly, hard as that is for me to do. If you're a Christian, you will suffer. If they persecuted Jesus, they'll persecute you. He said you will be hated among all men because you're Pentecostal. And he didn't say because you're Pentecostal. He doesn't care what your religious persuasion is. He said, you'll be hated of all men for my name's sake. Because you call my name and wear my name and you follow after me passionately, he said, some folks are going to hate you. I'm going to say it tonight. Some of you won't get a job you want because you who you serve. Some of you won't get a promotion on your job, and somebody else will get that promotion and you won't get it because of the God you serve. One of the early saints, when he was in Bible times, there were certain places where people worked, and before they went into work, they'd have to get some incense and they'd put it on the fire and they would burn it to whatever god the owner of the company served. And there was a Christian having a problem with that. He said, I can't do that. I can't offer this incense to this false god. And so he went to his pastor and he said, what am I going to do? And he said, well, he said, being a servant of Jesus Christ, you can't do that. He said, I know. He said, but if I don't do that, he said, I'll lose my job. And the pastor was real compassionate. He said, so? And then he said, if I lose my job, he said, I won't be able to provide for my family. And he said, so? And he said, and if I can't get some money, we can't eat. And if we don't eat, we'll die. And he said, so? Hey, folks, it may come down to getting serious about what we believe. Are we going to How passionate are we about this? How passionate are we about this? A lot of folks use Jesus Christ like a spare tire. They're rolling down the road of life, and when they have a flat, a crisis, they take him out. They put him on until they get back on the road again. And then, Jesus, we don't need you anymore. And they stuff him back in their religious trunk until they have another crisis. And then they take him out. And as soon as they get out of trouble, they stuff him back in the back somewhere. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. We need to be passionate about this. Amen. We need to be passionate about this. Amen. Jesus Christ has to be everything. Even if we have to suffer. Hey, I want to tell you something. The guy that wrote this was in prison when he wrote it. And he was in prison because he was preaching Jesus Christ. Now, this is not scripture. This is just a tradition. You can believe if you want to. You don't have to if you don't want to. But I'll just tell you the story. It is said by some historians that, you see, Paul had two guards in there with him. And there was on each side of him, there was a Roman soldier. And history says, and historians say, that they had to change those guards regularly because he would convert them. Paul saw prison as an opportunity. He had a captive audience. These two guys ain't going nowhere for at least 8 hours. They're going to be sitting here with nothing to do but listen to me. And Paul had one thing on his mind, Jesus. And so when he talked to him, he talked to him about Jesus. And history says that he would convert the soldiers. He'd have them on their knees in a little while. Amen. They'd be repenting of their sins. Amen. They'd be praying through to the Holy Ghost. You see, that's what happened. You're passionate. It would cost you something, but it's worth it. It's worth it. Amen. Let me read you a little something else here. I'm trying to hurry here to a conclusion. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22 to 28. He said of the Jews five times, let me start at verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I am more, in labors more abundant. He said, I outwork them. You know what? As Christians, we may not have as much money as some people, some churches. I've heard, some churches, that more about the steeple than the people. They got a lot of money. But why are we Pentecostals? But let me tell you something. Don't worry about it. Let's just outwork them. He said, in labors more abundant. I just work harder. There's no place in the kingdom for lazy Christians. Why is it that we see things that need to be done around here, but they don't get done? But the things that need to be done at your house, get done. If the toilet is running here, let it run. Brother Grissom will get to it after a while. But if it's running at your house, it gets fixed. Talk, Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. I'm meddling. Let me go on here. I'm getting back to talking about being passionate. Amen. This may not be the fanciest church in town, but it ought to be the cleanest. If this is our passion, amen. Well, somebody else will do it. Well, what's wrong with you doing it? I wouldn't care if I come up here and there are 10 people out there lined up waiting for a project. Amen. Well, brother, I was going to do that. I got here first. Let me. Well, I hear some laughs. That's good. I'm talking about being passionate. Hallelujah. Talking about being passionate. Amen. All right, let me rush on. Paul, anyway, he talked about laboring. I got that out of there. I don't know, but we did. And stripes more abundant, and prisons more frequent, and deaths oft. Often he was in death, died a lot. Of the Jews, he said, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned. He's not talking about marijuana. He's talking about rocks. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a day and a night I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils in waters, in perils in robbers, in perils among countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside all those things that are without, that which cometh upon me day to the care of all the churches. Amen. He said, I want to know him in the fellowship of suffering. I'd really like to go to church tonight, but I got a hangnail. I'd like to go to church tonight, but my throat just, I might be getting a cough, and I don't want to get anybody else. Thank you for your consideration. But I think the Holy Ghost is able to keep us. Whatever happened to that doctrine? You know what? You're going to go to the grocery store. You're going to go to Walmart. You can't go to heaven without that. That's become a verb, Walmart. It's like fishing and hunting. But you get a cold, it's not going to keep you out of Walmart. Or if you're afraid somebody else has got one, it's not going to keep you out of Walmart. Well, you know, there's this thing going around. I'm afraid my children are going to catch it. Well, they don't keep them out of Walmart. Passion. We got several preachers here. Amen. I got sick a couple years ago. And we had several preachers. And so I'm going to blame it on the devil because I think it was. He said, why don't you just stay home and let somebody else preach? You're not feeling good tonight. And I did that. And I have been so sorry ever since I did. Amen. But it ain't going to happen again. Amen. If my voice is raspy, you're going to have to put up with it. If I had to get off the platform and run for the bathroom, you're just going to have to put up with it. Amen. I'm not letting him do that to me again. I'm so mad at the devil for that. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, anyway. This fella, he was passionate. I believe Christians ought to be passionate. Now, I'm finally getting to my point here. Aren't you glad? And I'm nearly through. Amen. It won't take me but 30 minutes to make this point. No, it really won't. I'm gonna go a lot faster than that. Amen. Now, here's the one that I've always understood the other two pretty well, and I've always preached about those and felt comfortable preaching about that. But this one, I never could really get a grasp. I never really understood so much what he meant by being made conformable unto his death. That one always bothered me. Lord, what do you mean being made conformable unto his death? Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. That's what Paul's talking about. He said, if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, you're going to have a cross in your life. And another place, he said it this way. He said, I die daily. Every day, I, Paul,
pick up my cross and I crucify myself. I'm not talking about literally, obviously. We're talking about a spiritual death. He said in this another way, he said it this way. He said, I mortify my members. The word mortify is the word we get mortuary from. He was saying, I put my members to death. In other words, he says to his eyes, he said, you're going to die today and you're not going to see ungodly things. And he says to his hands, you're going to die today and you're not going to do ungodly things. And he says to his feet, you're going to die today and you're not going to walk in ungodly places. And he says to his mind, you're going to die today and you're not going to think ungodly thoughts. Amen. He speaks to his body and he says, I'm bringing you under subjection and you are going to be a Christian today. Everywhere that you go, in tongue, you're going to die today. Amen. And you're not going to say ungodly and unkind things. Amen. But you're going to be under subjection to Jesus Christ. That's being made conformable to his death. It's making your body do things that are right when everything in you wants to do wrong. It is biting your tongue until it bleeds so it doesn't say something that you're going to regret a little bit later. Amen. It is taking that thought that comes in your head and bringing it into captivity to Christ and saying, no, I'm not going to think like that anymore because I am a Christian. Is making your hands do the right thing when they want to do the wrong thing. But you say no because I am a Christian. That's being made conformable to his death. Not giving in to carnal impulses and doing ungodly things. Amen. That's how we do it. Romans chapter 6, Paul, there's a philosophy that these people actually adapted this. They call themselves Christians, by the way. And they adapted this philosophy that said, where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. So the more we sin, the more grace there is. So we ought to sin a whole lot. People actually said that and did that and lived like that. Amen. And they call themselves Christians. And they said, well, yes, we sin because it brings more grace. And so Paul, in writing to those people, Romans chapter 6, he said, God forbid. And listen to his reasoning. He said, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? When you repented, you died to your sin. When you repented and said, God, I'm sorry. I'm not going to live like this anymore. You were walking that way. You turned around and you started walking this way. You're not going that way anymore. When you got into that baptistry and you were baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins, you died and your sins were buried. Paul said, God forbid that you should live that way anymore. Listen, he said, know you not that so many as we were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Everybody say into. I hear people say, I'm into Jesus. Well, how did you get into him? You were baptized into him. And when you were baptized into him, you were baptized into his death. Death to sin. Death to the old man. Amen. We're baptized into him. Amen. You see, we are in him, he's in us. It's like we are surrounded today by air. You can't see it, but how many believe there's air in this building? All of you look pretty pink and healthy to me, or you know, you got some color and you're breathing. If I can see, he's breathing. Amen. Look at your neighbor, make sure they are. If not, we're going to call some help. You see, even though you're surrounded by air, if you don't get some of it inside of you. Amen. You're in air, but air also has to be in you. You're in Jesus, but Jesus also has to be in you. If He's not in you, you're not yet living. If He's just on the outside, you're not yet alive. You've got to get Him on the inside. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. We still believe that?
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. You see, that's what Paul's talking about. You are baptized into Him. You're in Him, He's in you. Amen. Therefore, we're buried with Him by baptism into death. Baptism's not about life, it's about death. It's about burial. Amen. Holy Ghost is about life. Amen. You're buried because you're getting rid of your sins. Praise God. Amen. And the Bible says, and then we rise to walk with Him in newness of life. When we come up out of that water, we're a new creature. We're alive. The old life's behind us. Aren't you glad that when you were baptized, the sins didn't come up with you? Amen. They stayed in the water. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. If we've been planted together, that's what you do with a seed, isn't it? You plant it. It's cold and dark in that soil. Amen, but it's just right. Because when that soil gets warm and it starts warming that seed, there's some life on the inside of it. And it starts worming its way to the top. And it pushes its way through the clods. And it lifts its little green arms up and it starts praising the Creator. Hallelujah. Amen, and life comes out of there. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's something. You've got some life in you. We need to be passionate about this tonight. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, the body of sin might be destroyed, that we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Hey, let me tell you how to defeat sin. Just die to it. You can take a person that was addicted to alcohol, and when he's dead, you can take him to a liquor store, and he'll not drink a drop. Because he's dead. You can take somebody that's dead to a cocaine factory. Amen. It's all around. It's in the air. And they're not going to take one snort. Because they're dead. Man. You know how to not sin anymore? Just die to it. Man. Sin comes knocking on your door. Say, I'm dead. Go somewhere else. Amen. Somebody comes up and offers you a cigarette, say, I'm dead. Somebody offers you a snort, I'm sorry, I'm dead. Amen. I'm a walking dead man. Dead to sin. Amen. Praise God. You hit your finger, you don't feel dead. But instead of saying what you want to say, I'm dead. Amen. You'll find out pretty soon whether you are or not. Be dead to sin. That's what he's saying here. Amen. Praise God. I'm hurrying right along. I'm skipping over stuff, but I'm coming to the conclusion here in just a second. I'll be through. Listen very closely here. He said, verse number 12, he said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Now you see, before you knew Jesus Christ, sin reigned in you. Or Peter, because they were... That's when they told me that, they were lying. And lying's still a sin. There are sins of the spirit that are just as deadly as sins of the flesh. And pride is one of those. And self-righteousness is one of those. I'm not saying you may do some of the same carnal, mortal sins that you did before, but all of us deal with that every day. No. I know how we Christians are. We don't call it sin anymore. We call it shortcomings. Mistakes. Oh, I made a mistake. In politics today, they don't lie anymore. It's just, I misspoke. It's still a sin. If it's a mistake, it's still a sin. Amen. Oh, one word for sin, hamartia, it means coming short of the mark or missing the mark. You're shooting your arrow and you miss. That's not the end of the world. Amen. But you just call it what it is. I'm sorry, God, I sinned. Forgive me. I'll do better next time. Amen. Don't let it ruin your day. Get up and go on. Amen. But understand that you're going to sin in this life. You're going to make mistakes in this life. You're going to have shortcomings in this life. You're going to lose your temper sometimes. You're going to say things you shouldn't say. Just don't make it a practice. That's what he said. He said, don't let sin reign. Don't let it control you. Amen. I'm really through. I'm sorry. I went a little longer than I should have. Amen. Verse number 13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Amen. Don't give your tongue to say the wrong things. Don't give your hands to do the wrong things. Don't give your feet to go the wrong places. That's what he's saying. Don't yield. Everybody say yield. You're the one that makes a decision. Hello? Hello? Amen. Don't blame it on the devil. You're the ones that cast the deciding vote. Jesus says do this. Devil says do that. You make the deciding vote. Don't yield your members. Say, we're on a strike. Ain't doing that. I'm dead. Amen. Huh? But yield yourselves unto God. There's the thing. Instead of doing the wrong thing, do the right thing. Instead of yielding yourself, and you know, the devil's trying to get you to think one way, you start thinking the other way. And he wants you to say one thing, and you just say, well, praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen, Jesus, I'm dead, thank the Lord. Ain't doing that no more. Amen. You see, that's yielding yourself to God, still yielding yourself to the devil. Amen. You want to do something bad to somebody, do something good for somebody. Well, I don't have time. I'm hurrying. I can clarify that, but see me after church if you need some clarification. I'll do that. Amen. For those that are alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Amen. For sin, I love this verse. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Everybody say, sin shall not. It's not going to reign over me. Because I'm passionate. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Know ye, verse number 16, that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey. Doesn't matter what I call myself. If I keep yielding myself to sin, I'm a sinner. If I yield myself to Jesus Christ, I'm a Christian. Amen. It's who I yield myself to. It's whom I obey. That's who I really am. I'm stopping. Amen. Amen. And being made free from sin, become servants to God. You that have the fruit unto holiness and the end of everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's stand together. Amen. Passion. Passion. Amen. We got to be passionate about this, folks. We can't be half-baked. What was it? Israel said to Reuben, his son. He loved Reuben. It's his firstborn. He said, but Reuben, he said, you're as unstable as water. Water, whatever you pour it in, if you want water to look like a cup, pour it in a cup. If you can find a heart-shaped vessel, you pour it in that, it'll look like a heart. Whatever you pour it in, that's the shape it takes on. It has no identity of it, no shape of its own. It just takes on whatever you put it in. He said, you're as unstable as water. Amen. He wasn't passionate. We got to be passionate. Amen. He said, but Judah said, you're lying, swept. Nobody's going to whoop you. Amen. You're passionate about life. Amen. We got to be passionate, folks, about Jesus Christ, about serving Him, about doing right. Amen. Now, I've said all that. Now it's time for me to put it to practice. Could I just say tonight that when the preacher points his finger at you, he's got three of them point right back at himself. So what I preach to you, I don't want to just preach it. I want to do it. Amen. I want to be passionate about serving God. And I want you to be passionate about serving God. Amen. Praise God. All right. I think it would be good if we'd just come and find us a place to pray tonight. I apologize. I went a little longer than I should have. And I beg your indulgence. Please forgive me. Amen. But I want to be passionate about serving the Lord. Amen. Could we find a place here and let's just give it ourselves to one more time. God, I want to be passionate about serving you. I want to be real. I want to be genuine. I don't want to be a professor of religion. I want to be a possessor and be possessed of Jesus Christ. I don't want to talk about the Christian life. I want to live the Christian. I want to be a Christian. And the way I talk and the way I think. It said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Lord, I want you to renew my mind. You also said in another place, we have the mind of Christ. When you gave us the Holy Ghost, you gave us the ability to think differently. We don't have to think on this mortal plane. We can think on a heavenly plane. We don't have to live like everybody else in this old world. We can live righteously and godly in this present world, perfecting holiness. Just help me tonight, Jesus. I want to do better. I want to do better. Thank you for all the good that we've been able to do. But that was yesterday. Help me to do better tomorrow. And if I didn't do so well yesterday, and I did fail yesterday, help me not to let that hinder me today. If I fall, give me the grace to get right back up and not wallow in my sin, not wallow in my failure, but to get up immediately. Say, I'm sorry. Amen. Start walking again down the road of righteousness with my mind made up. Amen. I'll watch out for that trap next time. Amen. I'll watch out for that next time. That won't happen again by the grace of God. That's it, folks. Amen. Let's just, God, help us to be passionate about this. Let it consume us. Let it consume us.